revival. God's going to pour out revival on Bell County, Kentucky, like He never has before. I'm speaking it in the history of time. We're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we've ever seen. Some thoughts I wanted to speak to you. I feel like the Lord has given to me from this chapter. Amen. Good things are in store. Will somebody come into agreement that good things are in store? Amen. Verse 1, the Bible says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Somebody say all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest? Now let me pause here just a second. There's certain facets of this chapter, and I'm sure you've heard it preached before. I've preached it from this chapter at some point in time. Couldn't tell you right now when, but there's certain facets of this chapter, amen, that we're not going to really hit really hard. Because there's a couple things that I really want to hone in on. I want to focus in on this morning that I feel like the Lord has spoken to me. But first of all, it's important that you know that Abraham here is a picture of the Father. And his servant is a type and shadow, a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he is going out to get a bride for his son Isaac, which is a picture of Christ. Amen. And that is speaking to us here. So, you know, I want you to see that as we read. It's important that you know those things. Look in verse 5, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing. The woman is us. Somebody say that's us. She'll not be willing to follow me into this land, must I needs bring my son to the land from thou camest. I want to tell you something right now. Christ came, you know, he said, must I bring my son again? I want to tell you, Christ came and he did the work that God sent him to do. And he was crucified and he arose on the third day and he said, it is a finished work. And he's not going to be crucified again. There's nothing else that has to happen for us to be able to access all things that God has for us. Oh, we got to get that. Look what it says. The Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Say it again, say all things. And there's nothing else that has to happen, Joyce, for us to be able to access everything that Christ came to fulfill. Because again, he said it is finished. What's that mean, Pastor? That means, some of you are so close, and what we're going to preach to you this morning is don't give up, because we're right there. I want you to see that we're right there, and some of you have been praying for some things for a long time, and the Lord has shown me that you are very close. You're right on the edge of receiving your miracle. I said you're right on the edge, and I'm about to get ahead of myself. Let me read on. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou don't bring my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and swear to thee, unto thy seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman is not willing, you're clear. Don't bring my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Now, once you see verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. Now, I have this underlined in my Bible. Look at verse 10. I want you to see this. For all the goods. Everybody say all the goods. Oh, y'all ain't getting that. Come on, let it get in your spirit. Say it again. For all the goods. You know what that's interpreted there? Now, you guys know I guess I should be more. I've made this statement before, but I've never been one to be prone to be a prosperity and success and wealth preacher. You know, some preachers, you know, that's their agenda and that's all they preach. And but I think you can, you know, there needs to be a moderation, but nonetheless, we need to preach the word. And the scripture says, "I would that you'd be in health and," come on, say it again. "Be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers." How many believes God wants us to be blessed? How many believes God does not want His children begging for food? Come on now. How many believes that there's a place that we can come to in God where we operate according to kingdom principles, and it's not according to the rudiments of this world. It's not according to the world's economy. It's not according to the economic system of the world, but it's according to the word of God. God says, "I want you to be the blessed coming in, the blessed going out. I want you to be blessed in the city. I want you to be blessed in the field, on the right, on the left." Will somebody help me this morning? God has a plan for His people. I'm going to preach this word. Amen. "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of him, concerning the man. The servant," verse 10, "took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the wealth of his master were in his hand." Now remember, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask you speak through your vessel. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and let it change us. Let it increase faith in your people in the midst of troubled times, in the midst of a world economic crisis. We stand on your word, and we believe your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Now, look here what it says. "All the goods of his master were in his hand." Now, who is this person here? The servant. Who is this speaking of? I told you earlier, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now, can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is scheduling everything necessary for your success? I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is scheduling everything necessary for your success. Everything Abraham possessed, according to the scripture, he had access, you know, and obviously, I don't think that they could have taken all of Abraham's possessions on 10 camels, but the Holy Spirit had access to everything that Abraham, or in this place, the servant, had access to everything that the Father, that Abraham had. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It's finished," he ascended back to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit here to do the office work of Christ. And now he is here fulfilling that duty. And everything that we have need of, the Holy Spirit has, we have access through the Holy Spirit to everything that the Father has, every blessing that God has, we have access through the Holy Spirit. Amen? So he's scheduling everything necessary for your success. They were singing earlier. He works all things. All things work together for us. And you got to see this. How many, you know, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a road for you to travel on. And sometimes we can veer off that course. I mean, that happens. But God takes everything that happens in our life to get us back on the course and the plan and the journey that He has for us. And it's to get us to the place where He wants to take us. Amen. He's in control. He's working it all out, if you will. Amen. And see, it's a God thing. Somebody say it's a God thing. Now let's fast forward. What happens is the servant, he heads out. He takes 10 camels of his master, and he takes all the goods of his master, and he goes out and he prays, and he says, "Who this person is to be the bride, let me meet him here." And he stops by, you guys know the story, he stops by the well. And he says, "Who will come out and water, not only me, but also the camels, who will give us a drink?" Amen. And all of a sudden, Rebecca shows up with her pitcher on her shoulder. It was a God-ordained situation. It was the timing. Oh, glory. It was the timing of God. Amen? Can you say amen? It was the timing of God. God has a time where He puts everything in His plan. And it was a this meeting. God had this meeting planned. Oh, God's got some meetings planned in your life. God has some reservations made, if you will. And God's sending the Holy Spirit before you. And God's going to work things out. God has a plan and God has a timing and God's going to work everything out. Your healing is going to come to fruition. Our son's healing is going to come to fruition. It's going to be manifested. Everything. Revival. God's going to pour out revival on Bell County, Kentucky like He never has before. I'm speaking it in the history of time. We're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we've ever seen. We're going to see the lame walk. We're going to see the blind eyes open. We're going to see the deaf ears unstopped. We're going to see drug addicts delivered. We're going to see the drug dealers delivered. In the name of Jesus, I speak it. I speak it out into the air. I speak it out into the air. God has some reservations made. This meeting out here. Oh, this meeting out here. Rebecca says, let's look at it. Verse 17. Servant says, let my prayer drink a little water from your pitcher. Listen. God's got all. Now say with your pastor this morning. God has, how many believes God has it all? God's just wanting a little water from your pitcher. Come on. He's looking for somebody that'll be willing to give of themselves in every facet. Amen? In every facet. Come on now. He wants you to get, he wants you. He wants your time. Amen? He wants who you are. He wants your fellowship. He wants a fellowship with you. Oh, He wants a personal relationship with you, not just religion, not just to show up at a church service on Sunday morning and have the worship team sing you happy and the pastor preach a good sermon. And He wants your time. He wants your fellowship. He wants to commune with you. He wants you to spend time with Him. You are the Rebecca and He's waiting at the well. The Holy Spirit is waiting at the well. He's waiting for you to come and to fellowship and commune. Amen. You know, it's like Jesus at the well. He asked that person. He asked the Samaritan woman, He says, give me a drink. He wants to see, are you willing to fellowship with Him? Of course, He can pour out on you living water. He can pour out on you pitchers of water. And He will and He is. But He's waiting for us to fellowship with Him. How many knows He wants to fellowship with you? That's His heart. The Holy Spirit, Sally, gets out here and says, waiting here. And then Rebecca shows up, Brandon. Rebecca shows up and He says, can you give me a little drink? Look what happens here. And she hasted. He said, verse 18, and she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave Him drink. And when she had done giving Him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels. Until they've done drinking. Now, I have to believe that it wasn't too difficult to give the servant a drink. But I want to tell you something, folks. Camels can take up some water. 10 camels. But she was willing, and she goes back and keeps getting water for all of these camels. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, I'm making proclamation, and God is going to do great things. God's going to pour out, and there's going to be miracles, and I'm speaking it in the name of Jesus, but I'm telling you, God is waiting for a people. There's a timing, and God is waiting for a people to say, God, I'm all in. Everything I have is yours. My life is yours. My family's yours. My job is yours. My finances are yours. My bank account belongs to you. It's all yours, and God's already told me, He's already spoke to me that everything that you given to God, He's going to give it back double fold in the name of Jesus. Can somebody give Him praise for it? You can't outgive God. I said you can't outgive God. I could tell you some stories when Wanda and I first got married. Amen. Well, you know, we were young. Go ahead and say it. I told Buddy this morning, and we were in a trustees meeting this morning, and we were the bishop celebrated their anniversary yesterday, 22nd, right? Is that getting right? 22nd, happy anniversary, belated anniversary to the bishops, and I said, well, 1 month from today, we celebrate our 30th, and Buddy said, what was she, 6? And I knew Wanda would take that as a compliment. You know, we get all these jokes, you know. Junebug said when we got married, we went on our honeymoon, we went out to eat, and they said, does she need a kid's menu? You know, this high chair. He's full of them. Yeah. But don't try this at home. I don't recommend it, kids. You know, the Lord was, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. And this is a word from the Lord. There's a timing of God, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and God intended for this woman right here to be my wife, and for us to be together, and that's why God made a way, amen, for us to make it, amen, amen. When we first got married, you know, I didn't. And I'm just going. Can I just preach to you? We didn't know about tithing. And given unto God, you know, and we were newlyweds and newly married, and we didn't tithe. And then all of a sudden, you know, I lost my job, and here we were. We hadn't been married a year, and I got laid off from my job, and things were tough. I'm gonna be honest with you, things were tough. You know, we were saving change and buying a loaf of bread and a pack of bologna and a box of cereal amen. And I had to sell my 1977 Trans Am. You know, I had to sell my car. It's the sharpest car in Harlan County. Not that Harlan County's a big place. But this guy said his son wanted to, I'm still preaching, giving of yourselves. This guy, he said, my son wants that car. And this guy was a supervisor over a loadout in Middlesboro, a coal loadout. And, you know, jobs were scarce then. Jobs are tough right now. But in the early 80s, you couldn't hardly buy a job in the coal industry. And that's what I did, you know, then. I was a coal miner when Juan and I got married. And I got laid off, James. And you couldn't get a job. And this guy said, but we bought a truck from her dad. And a little 65 Chevy pickup with a 3-speed on the column. You remember that truck. And I taught Wanda how to drive a stick shift. You know, she could drive a stick shift on the column. And the bed, one side of the quarter panel was completely gone. It was on the passenger side. It had no quarter panel. And I remember my brother Steve, the one that passed away just recently, we had picked him up at a family reunion once, and we were going to see my other brother at Manchester. We went through the drive-thru at a drive-thru restaurant, and I remember Steve saying, if you'd turn around and back this thing through, they'd probably give us our food free. Because it looked so bad. But we hadn't learned to give, and Brandon, they were calling. You know, we went in debt for a home at an early age, and we had like $300 a month house payments, and we got 3 payments behind. And they were calling me and saying, if you don't pay your thing, you're going to repossess your home. You know, we're going to take your home. And here we are, young, no work. We learned the principle of giving. We learned that. And I'll just be honest with you from that point on. I really don't know how we caught up. You know, I try to think about it. I don't know how, but it happened. Some way, somehow, God provided and we caught up. And we learned that principle. And you know, here's the thing. How many believes we can rebuke Satan? Amen. But you know, how many knows what it means when the Bible says that Jesus will rebuke him for you? Malachi chapter 3. Bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. Amen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will rebuke him. Now, I'll tell you what, our rebuker will work in faith, but I believe Jesus, he always listens to him. How many believes that? Amen. And folks, I promise you, this is not in my notes. This is just the Lord speaking to us. We got to be willing to give of ourselves. If we want to see God's plan fulfilled in our lives, God has a perfect plan and he's going to do it in the name of Jesus, but he's waiting for us to give of ourselves. Amen. Are you with me? 10 camels. How many guys would like to water 10 camels? How much can a camel drink? A whole lot of water. I got to hurry. I know that smell of bread's killing you guys. It's wandered all the way to the platform. I don't know how Jason's standing it back there, him and Daniel. Listen. Here's the bulk of this message. I'm going to get it right here. Oh, man, I wish I had some saddlebags. There was 10 camels. And those camels, how do you think they carried those goods? Those camels had saddlebags. Amen? Now, when Rebecca was watering those camels, she probably never thought or never realized that just on the other side of those saddlebags were all kinds of gifts. And I'm speaking a word to you this morning that just right on the other side of the saddlebags, in the spirit realm, just on the other side of those saddlebags is, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Oh, you got to see this. She hasted, verse 20, and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man warning her held his peace to wit where the Lord had made his journey prosperous. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and gives those gifts unto her. So, Curtis, just on the other side of the saddlebags, amen, was precious gifts waiting for the bride. And you are the bride of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is waiting for somebody to step up, and he's got gifts. Y'all ain't getting this. I said he's got gifts. Heaven's storehouses are full, and he's just waiting to pour things out on his people. I said, he's just waiting. And some of you, you are so close. Don't abort. Don't give up. Don't you think the enemy tries to get me and Wanda to give up? You know, on everything, on our son's healing. We're watching a program this week on autism, on Discovery Health or something. Wanda recorded it. And we're sitting there watching it. And this different families, like 3 different families that had autistic children. And this one particular family, this boy, was that the one that was like 19? He was 19. And he just went into a new school and stuff. But listen, The child had never spoke until he was six. He had never spoke a word. His grandparents invited them to bring him to church. They took him to church. He had never spoke a word. Now listen to me. And she said, the guy doing the interview was asking her, he said, how did he start speaking? Because you see, he didn't speak till he was six. She said, well, do you really want to know? He said, yeah, I want to know. He said, well, his grandparents asked us to take him to church. We took him to church. And she says, the next day after we came home from church, she said, we're just sitting there in the house. And he says, hi, mommy. 6 years. He had never spoken a word. And then, after 6 years, just out of the blue, he says, hi, mommy. Now, and that was great. And we're sitting there just rejoicing with this mother over what happened to her child. But then we're thinking, why didn't you take him back to church? Because he still had challenges and he still had issues. But you know, I'm thinking, I'm going to go back and get some more. It's like Elijah, get some seconds, buddy, because you're going to need this to make it all the way to, you're going to make the journey all the way to Mount Horeb. Amen? But what I'm trying to tell you is, man, I feel the anointing. I'm trying to bring this to a close. But listen, there's gifts and there's promises just on the other side of the saddlebags. Don't stop. You know, you may just need to go just a little bit further. I remember, I'll tell you, Daniel, get ready, come on up. Skip over to verse 50. I remember when I was a young boy, I don't know, 10 maybe, 9 or 10, 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere in there. My sister, one of my sisters, that I was raised with and through adoption. When she graduated from high school, she went to work for the FBI in Washington, D.C. In fact, she just retired last year, right? A year ago, whatever. Recently retired. And, she worked for the FBI all those years. And, I'll never forget her leaving and going, you know, it was just like such a big deal. Well, she had been up there not long, and she met this guy, and they were to be married. And so we were going to Washington, D.C. for the wedding. And that was a big deal then. I mean, of course, we travel a lot now. People go everywhere. You know, they just go all kind of places. But, you know, used to, you know, it's kind of like the guy, Brandon, you know, said the guy that rode from our county, rode the bicycle across the Wasiota Bridge here at Pineville and said, goodbye, old USA, you know. And the same guy said, I'm going to Detroit to get me a job. If I don't find one there, I'm going right on to Michigan. It's okay, you can laugh. But we went to that, we loaded up and we're going to that wedding. And Pap, we called him Pap. Some of y'all remember, my adoptive father, my dad, he's raised me from a small child. And, great man of God. Great man of God. And, we loaded up. Pap had a 1971 Impala. Four door. And as Papa would say, it would sail down that pike. That's what he called it. He called it the pike. He said, we'd sail down that pike. And we're all loaded up in this Impala, and we're going to Washington, D.C. You know, and we're traveling up the road, and they'd given us directions, Brandon. They'd given us directions to where we're going. We're staying at the Holiday Inn, you know, there in Washington, D.C. And so we come in there, and it's on Interstate 94 or whatever, and we're traveling up through there. And this is it's a true story, I promise you. And we're just so anxious, you know. It may have been the first time I ever stayed in a hotel, because we just didn't do that stuff then, you know. But they had made our reservations and paying for all that stuff, and so we're traveling up through there, Ernie. And all of a sudden, you know, we look at Pat and we says, Pat, I think you missed the exit. And honest, it was late. It was like in the evening. We'd arrived in the evening. It was just turning dark. And he takes that big Impala and cuts through the median. whoom, across the interstate and goes back the other way. True story. And then he turns around and comes back down the road. Pout, I think you passed it up. Second time, right through the median. Through the grass. Leon is just lucky there wasn't a ditch there. You know, some of the medians have a big ditch because we'd have probably just been wrecked in the ditch. But he just drove across the grass. I'm not talking about a turnaround now. I'm talking about the grass. And so, you know, come to find out, here's long story short, here's what had happened. How many knows sometimes you have a exit A and exit B? 386A and 386B. Well, we were supposed to get off on B. And the one we were passing up was exit A. So eventually we realize that. So we go on down to B and we turn in and there it is, you know, we reached our destination. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? Some of you are getting off the exit and you're almost at the right turn. You're right there where God is going to provide your miracle. God's going to provide one. I'm speaking and I'm coming into agreement with you right now in the midst of God and these witnesses that God is, we're going to see our son's manifest healing in the name. We're not going to abort in Jesus' name. We're going to see revival poured out here. We're not going to abort. Don't, you know, there may be some road bumps. Come on now. There may be some little stops on the way, but God's saying I'm going to do it. Don't abort. Don't, you know, your miracle is just on the other side of the saddlebags. Now, I'm gonna close here. Go to verse 50. They go to Rebecca's house and they tell her the whole story. Here's what happened. Verse 49. The servant says, "If you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, if not, tell me that I may turn to the right, to the left." Look at verse 50. Somebody say God's will. Come on, say it again. Say God's will. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak into the good or bad." So what they're saying was, we don't have no matter in this. Sure, she's our daughter. We don't have no matter. This is a God thing. This comes from God. Are you guys seeing that? So, behold, Rebekah's before he take her and go and let her be thy master's son as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when the servant heard the words, he worshiped the Lord, bound himself to the earth. Now look at verse 53. Remember when she watered the camels, and I'm closing here, I promise. Remember when she watered the camels, he got out these gifts. And the Lord spoke something to me. Listen. Some of us, we have just scratched the surface as to what God wants to do. Amen? In our lives. In your lives. And we stop at those first gifts. But look what it says. Now, the servant brought forth jewels, verse 53, of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Are you seeing that? You know, the servant had all, man, he had all kinds of stuff to give. And he was just waiting to see how willing they were to receive what God wanted to do in their lives. Amen? So how many is going to say, "I receive that"? I'm speaking it right now. Your healing is just on the other side of the saddlebags. Deliverance is just on the other side of the saddlebags. Finances, financial blessings are right there. They're just waiting for the servant just to flip up the cover and reach in and pull it out. Amen. Somebody say, "I receive that." Come on, say, "I receive it." Oh, get ready. The windows of heaven. God's going to open up the windows. God has a plan. God has a plan. God's going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. Somebody come to agreement.